1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above or beyond that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The way to escape temptation. The longer I studied this, the more difficult it became. Because there are so many kinds of temptations, so many different temptations. And I began to almost put it off. But who is sufficient for these things but our sufficiencies of the Lord? He's given us the answer. And we need to know this for our help. So we're going to look at temptation. The word temptation means test, to put to the test. The word temptation means to entice, to allure. The word temptation means to examine in order to prove. You take an examination to prove what you know. The word temptations means to try or trial. So temptations means trials. Temptations mean tests. Temptations means enticements. There are temptations from God. Trials. God doesn't tempt us with evil. God doesn't entice us to do evil. That is from Satan. But somehow God allows that. But there are trials and temptations or tests from God. There are tests, temptations, enticements from Satan, from the world, and from this flesh from within. Whatever the temptation, whatever form it may take, they are all for these purposes. Number one, they're all to prove God's word to us, that God is true, that God is faithful, that God is true and God is faithful to us and telling us how to overcome this temptation, how to endure. James even said, and we're probably going to start studying the book of James, but James said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. He will receive the crown of life. That is, those who go through all temptations. And we're going to see how that all our fathers went through all temptations. There's no temptation, but such is common. They would all go through. And these trials, whatever form they may be, trials, tests, enticements, allurements, they prove God's word, that God is true, God is faithful, and they prove who are the true people of God. These tests, these trials are to prove who are God's true people. They prove that God is true, and they prove who are the true people of God. Okay? So the way of escape, you know, and I'm not giving you anything you don't know. Okay, we've been reading the way. So whatever temptation it may be. All right, look at verse 13 again. It says, there's no temptation taken you. Verse 1 says, brethren, don't be ignorant of this. Don't think you're the only one. Not by any means. There's nothing you have gone through, going through, or will go through that believers all times haven't gone through. Don't be ignorant of it. All temptation, he said. No temptation taken you. No trial, no test, whatever it may be. Allurements, enticements to sin or trials sent by God. No temptation or test has come upon you that is not common to all of God's people. All of God's people go through them. And you know, the Lord wrote the book of Job and had raised up Job for this purpose, to show that even that God can even send all of those temptations at one time upon one man to prove that God is faithful, that His grace is sufficient. None of us will go through all of that at the same time. Job did. It says, while they were bringing one bad news, they brought the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. Until anything that could possibly happen to a man, it happened to him. And God proved by that, it's the oldest book in the Bible, that He's true, that His Word is true, that His grace is true, and His people will prove to be true. They're going to come through it. He's going to bring them through it. He's going to bring them through it. No matter how tough, how long, how tried, God is faithful. And He won't, you know, Satan attacked Job like no other man all at once, didn't he? And God said, God wasn't about to let Satan devour Job. So that's what these temptations and trials and tests are all about. The world is not tempted per se. People that are dead in sin aren't tempted to sin. You understand? They live in it. They're dead. It's not a temptation. It's a way of life. It's their desire. It's their life, if you will. So it's not a temptation in that sense. They sure don't have any faith to be tried. Right? So this is to the brethren. This is to believers. Believers. Verse 1. Brethren. Now let's go to verse 1. Brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. It's an old way of saying, I don't want you to be to be ignorant of this. I don't want you to be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That's why I kept looking for that verse. Shine through the cloud and rain. Through darkness, toil, and pain. Through sorrow and pain. Make thou my pathway plain. Teach me thy way. All our fathers passed through the cloud. All our fathers. All the brethren. You've read with me many times, Hebrews 11, how all male, female, old and young, went through this world as under a cloud. Verse 2 says, they were under the cloud, passed through the sea, and all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This world of sin is like being in the depth of the sea. And this world of troubles and trials is like being in the depth of the sea. Like Job said, all thy waves and thy billows have gone over my head. I'm going to drown. I'm going to drown in sin, or I'm going to drown in sorrow. One way or the other, every believer thinks, I'm going to drown. I'm going to be overcome. I'm going to be overtaken by all of this. David in Psalm 38 says, my sins are over my head. But brethren, don't be ignorant that all our fathers, all the brethren, all believers in every age went through the depths of the sea. That's in Psalm 107, isn't it? They that go down to the sea in ships. Listen to this. I love that psalm. I just love it. It's my favorite. They that go down to the sea in ships. What ship are we in? Christ the ark. Fellowship. We're fellowship. Fellows in the ship. The fellowship of believers. The fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship of His suffering. His suffering. And fellows in the ship who go through the same suffering. These do business, he says, in great waters. Deep waters. And he goes on, there's no period there. He says, these see the works of the Lord. His wonders are in the deep. And it goes on to say, he's the one that commands and raises the stormy wind and lifts the waves thereof. And we mount up to heaven and come crashing down. Our souls melt and we reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man at our wits' end, crying to the Lord in the trouble. And he brings them out. And he makes the storm a calm and the waves are still and they're so glad and they're quiet and he brings them to their desired haven. Every one of them. Everybody in the ship makes it. Why? Because the master of the ship, the captain of the ship, because of the ship, because they're in him. It says that we, like our fathers, are under the cloud and in the sea, baptized into Moses. You know, Moses represents our Lord. That prophet, Moses said, the Lord's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. Him you'll hear. That prophet. And that's Christ. And in Christ, we walk through this cloud. We're not alone. We walk through this cloud. You know, the world is, as it were, under a cloud. How fitting that this day was a dark, cloudy day. That God's people walk through this world, and it's not every day is not clear skies and sunshiny days. And all happiness, not a worry and not a care, but to the contrary. They're cloudy skies. You're under a cloud. This world is under a cloud, as it were, the shadow of someone's hand. Now listen to me. This world is under a cloud, as it were, the shadow of someone's hand. That's God. And God, this is because His wrath is about to fall. But now, we're under the shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're in a cloud, all right, but it's not darkness to us. You remember it says the Egyptians, that cloud was darkness to them, but light to the children of Israel. The day they walked through, there was a cloud leading. They were under a cloud. They were in a cloud. They couldn't see too far, but they could see far enough. And even in that cloud, they could see God's hand leading them. But what I'm trying to show you is that we're under a cloud, the cloud of God's protection, but we can see through this cloud. It doesn't matter. If it's cloudy, the sun is shining. And this present evil world is in darkness and under the wrath of God, but we're not. Listen to Cowper. William Cowper lived his whole life under a cloud, didn't he? Those of you who know him, he was subject to severe depression all of his life. This man that wrote hymns like this. John Newton's one of his best friends. Newton tried his whole life to give him some relief. And he would, and he'd be down again. He'd be up and down. But listen to this. God moves in a mysterious way. One of the best hymns ever written. Fear not, ye saints. Fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your heads. There are no dark clouds over God's people. They all have a silver lining. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. So they all pass through cloud in Christ, our Savior, in the depth of the sea. Remember Psalm 130? That's my favorite psalm. out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord, hear my voice. If You should mark iniquity, who should stand? But there's forgiveness. Out of the depths of sin, out of the depths of sorrow, God's people go through sickness and suffering and pain and sorrow and all these things. Nobody's exempt from these things. Enticements to sin. I was reading Spurgeon, and he was, I love that man, but he said, some will say to me, but you don't know the awful thoughts that go through my head. Surely nobody thinks the evil thoughts that I do. Spurgeon said, they all do. But he said, I'm tempted at times to blaspheme God. The most wicked, terrible, vile things come through my mind. I think, where did that come from? And Spurgeon said, nope, all do, don't you? There's not a person in here that wouldn't attest to that, you think. How could I think that? Or even fall into sin, commit sins. Ask David, ask Abraham, ask Jacob, ask Peter, ask them Lot, ask them all, they'll tell you. Liable to do anything. But God. So we all have the same hope. They all have the same way of escape. Verse 3. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. And drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Meat and drink. And we read that in Hebrews, didn't we? That they had the gospel preached unto them. They read that Sunday. The gospel was preached unto them. And this is our meat. What we're doing tonight, this is our bread. This is our sustenance. In a time of famine, not of bread, but the hearing of God's word. We feast. Just like the children of Israel going through the wilderness feasting, God just sent bread from heaven. Just kept sending it. If they were hungry, there it was. He said, go out and get it every morning. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay. And water the smitten rock. The smitten rock. Christ said, I am the water of life. You'll never thirst. Drink of me. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. And verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. We couldn't hear a more important message. We couldn't read a more relative and important and vital passage in our day than this right here now. We're in the very last days upon whom the end of the world, the end of the ages are come, he said in verse 11. This is it. These are the very last of the last days. And he said they'll be like the days of Noah, just wicked, so very wicked. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. How were they overthrown? Did the enemies come and kill them all? Nope. They were passing through this world, and they would pass through towns and villages. And the Lord told them, you have enough. You have food. You have raiment. We're going to, through Moses, he said, we're going to a city, a promised land. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Okay? Just follow. We're not going to stay here. We have here no continuing city anywhere. Do not be taken by these vanities. Okay? We're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. A land of righteousness. A land where God dwells. Now come on. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't look to the side. Don't look to the side. Look with many of them. How they were overthrown was enticed by the things and the people. Said things like this. The fish, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, the things. women say, honey, I'm tired of moving. I want to settle down. I want to stay here. I want a house of my own. It was things that overcame. They began to envy the people of the world. They began to set their affection on things below and not on the promised land. And they began to murmur and complain. Read on. Verse 6, it says, these things are example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, Paul wrote in Romans 14, verse 14, I'm persuaded of the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. Nothing. God made all things for us to richly to enjoy. Nothing evil. There's no evil, there's no sin in anything. Why does he call them evil things? Because when they began to take our hearts, when we began to think about them and give ourselves to them more than God, then it's evil. It's evil. And he said it's idolatry. Paul said in Philippians 3:19, he said, I say this weeping, that their God is their belly, who mind earthly things, that all they think about are things and never give God a thought. That's what it means to lust after evil things, to have such a consuming desire after things that you'll forget God. Isn't that exactly what the Lord warned Moses and the people? Be careful now when you come into the promised land. Even when you get there, beware. You're going to build houses and you're going to have all this land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to have plenty. Be careful that you don't forget God. Even when you come in and even when you have a permanent tent, it's not going to last. Job proved that, didn't he? The very first book. He went through that. He had it all. And he didn't love it. His heart wasn't set on it. God proved that, didn't he? He had it all. He's a man that could have it all and not have his heart in it. So he was a perfect and upright man. One that just chewed evil. Walk with God, follow God. And when God took it all away, what did he say? When God took it all away, what did Job say? He blessed the Lord. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Christ was his life. And so he lived through it. There's a way to escape. Verse 7, don't be idolaters. Don't be idolaters. Some of them were. That means your God is your belly. It says people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with playing. I often like to think about the disciples as the Lord's little children. They were men. And you know, men. Guys, you ladies don't know how. Well, you've seen guys that just wrestling and carrying on, and you know, just scuffling, and you know, they do what guys do. You know, and the Lord looked at them playing together. Maybe they played sports, and you know, He didn't begrudge them that any more than we do our children. They're playing, and I often think of Him looking at them like you would look at your little children playing in the yard. Have fun. They followed Him. No. There's a time for that. And they didn't forsake Him for playing. No. They followed Him every step of the way. And they went through hardships and trial. And He gave them times of refreshment and times of to go into a desert place to refresh them and take it easy. Because the rest of the time was tough. But the thing is, it's idolatry when that's all we think about. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In other words, that's all the people thought about. Remember, that's what he said in his Sermon on the Mount. Don't be like the Gentiles. All they can think about is what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, where we're going to eat next, how we're going to be entertained, what we're going to do tomorrow. That's what people are overcome by. That's idolatry. And they love the world, and that's the world's in their heart. Verse 8. Sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Oh boy, you know, how relative is all this? Talked about their God as their belly, their appetites, and then here it talks about the lust for sexual pleasure. How relative is this? How current is this? Fleshly pleasure and desire for things and entertainment and so forth, and sexual animal passions and so forth. Food, drink, raiment, entertainment, things, sex, the world, and so forth. That's what they became overcome with. And God, they didn't enter the promised land. And it says 23,000 fell in one day, verse 8. 23,000 fell in one day. Now don't be ignorant, people. That 23,000 a day are falling now. Every year, in the United States alone, 620,000 people die of heart disease, directly attributed to an overindulgent lifestyle. Do the math. Nothing's changed. And we say, well, it just, God killed me. Since 1985, and it talks about fornication. Since 1985, since they found their diagnosed what AIDS is, in this country alone, 650,000 people have died from AIDS. In this country alone, millions the world over. 50,000 people a year are infected, newly infected every year in this country alone. Guns aren't killing us. Food and drink and sex. 11,000 people, by the way, killed by handgun. Can't see the forest for the trees. In ignorance because we're not reading this. We're killing ourselves. So, but we have a way of escape. He's given us a way to escape. What is it? You're looking at it. You're looking at it. You're reading it. We're not in darkness even as others. The word, entrance of thy word giveth light. We see, you know, that we're no different. We're no different. Verse 9 says, don't tempt Christ as some tempted and destroy the serpent. You know, the Lord sent Moses and he led them and spoke to them. And it says they rose up against, sinned against God and Moses. They couldn't get to God, but they could get to Moses. And they got angry at him and blamed him for it all. And read on. Verse 10 says, neither murmur ye. They all murmured in their tents, every one of them, as do we. They murmured against God. They murmured about their lot in life. They murmured about their trials. They murmured against Moses. They all murmured, as do we. Complained about everything. Murmur is complaining at the same time. And the Lord says, don't do it. They were destroyed to the destroyer, verse 11. But what do we have to complain about? But verse 11 says, now these things were examples. They happened unto us for examples. They're written for our admonition, to admonish us, reprove us, rebuke us, because we're all subject to all of these temptations. All of these trials, all these tests, every one of us go through this sea, this Red Sea, this wilderness of sin. It's for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So let him that thinketh he standeth. I believe I stand in Christ, don't you? Well then, take heed, lest you fall. And he gives this blessed promise, and I close in just a few more minutes. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. God is true to His Word. God is true to His people. He will not suffer you, allow you to be tempted, tried, tested, enticed above or beyond that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. The way to escape that you may be able to bear. All right, what is that way? And if you don't know by now, Christ said, I am the way. The Son of God came. Now, you know these things, but look at it in light of this. The Son of God came, sent by God, our covenant head, and was first thing as a man. What happened to him? The very first thing, he was what? Tempted. The very first thing, he was tempted by Satan. In all points. I love that. All points. There's no temptation that you've gone through. No test, no trial, no enticement, no allurements, no pain, no suffering, no sorrow that Christ didn't go through 10,000 times more. Job? Much more than Job. In 40 days, he went through hell. He went through hell. And then on the cross in 6 hours, the Lord put him in hell. Our covenant head. And the Scriptures say that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He's tempted in all points like as we are. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he's able to succor, able to help them that need him. He's just a call away. Just a call away. Call on me, he said, in the day of trouble. I'll be with you. Ask Simon Peter. He went out on that ocean and he began to sink. Lord, shortest prayer ever prayed. Lord, save me. And he reached down and picked him up. Tempted in all points like as we are, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and he sinned not. He was our representative. He was our covenant head. He's the captain of our salvation. And he did this for us. And he satisfied. I have to say this. It's good news. He kept the law of God perfectly for us. We can't do it. We just, no matter how hard we try, we can't do it. But he did. And God gave us that righteousness that he fulfilled. And then made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He punished Christ. And Christ said, come unto me. Come unto me. You guilty? Come unto me. I pardon you. Have you fallen? Call on me. I'll pick you up. Can't keep the law? I have. Come unto me. I am the way. The way to escape is him. Faith in Christ is the way to escape. Look to him, trust him, believe him, call on him. Now, go quickly. And I got determined to preach shorter, Couldn't be any shorter. But preach shorter messages. Matthew 26. Turn over there real quickly. Matthew 26. The Lord summed it up in the garden to his disciples in these three words. All right, and when he went in to pray for us, our great intercessor, mediator, Matthew 26, he went in to began to be made sin, sweat blood for us. To endure that cup, that wrath, and drink it dry for us. And he came back and found them sleeping. I just read today part of Pilgrim's Progress, where Pilgrim and Hopeful fell asleep in Byway. The Lord told them, don't get out of the way. And they said, look, this way. And they both got out of the way. And they fell asleep. And the big giant called Despair got them both and put them in a dark dungeon. And they stayed there for a long time without hope, thinking, we've gotten out of the way and we're gone. Now we're gone forever. They got out of the way. Quit following Christ, His Word. And then the Christian said, huh? How could I be so stupid? I got a key right here in my bosom that'll unlock any door of despair. It's a key of faith. And door unlocked. They got out of that black, dark dungeon. Got out of the next door and the bars and everything just parted away. And they skedaddled real quick. Back where, John? In the way. Don't look over there. Keep right on. Where was I? They fell asleep in chapter 26. And he came, verse 40, and the disciples had found them asleep and said to Peter, who was the most talkative one of the bunch, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Folks, the Lord brought them into this garden with Him, in communion with Him. You want to stay in the way? Stay in close communion with your Lord. You stay in close communion with your Lord. Like a dog siding up to its master. You run off and you're going to get hit by a car. Oh, Abner ran off chasing deer one time and somebody apprehended him and took him in their house. And I put out a reward. Went looking for him. I redeemed him. And buddy, from that day forward, he wouldn't leave my side. Stay in close communion. He said, couldn't you not watch with me 1 hour? Read on. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Right there it is. The way to escape. Watch. I'm called a watchman. I'm called a watchman. If I'm a good watchman, what I'll be doing is looking at His Word. This is light. The entrance of His Word. And looking around and by the light of His Word. Stop. Watch out. And looking at the sheep. Watch out. Watch. The Word of God opens our eyes and ears to see traps and pits and nets and enticements and allurement. Satan counterfeits them. Satan disguises them. Satan is the master of deception. Makes things look good, smell good, seem good, and they're not good. God's Word, watch. It opens our eyes to see things for what they really are. And what does it say about everything? Everything. Vanity. Don't fall asleep in vanity fair. Beware of vanity fair. Many a pilgrim have died there. Watch. Watch. Couldn't you watch with me? Christ is the Word. And pray. That's calling on Him. That's the Word and prayer, isn't it? Calling on Him that you enter not into temptation. Oh, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, my. Pray. Because Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. And when we talk about communion, that's what we're talking about. Read, 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 read. Just keep reading. And you know what you'll find yourself doing? Loving to read. Do we read more of the things of this world than God's Word? Let us hang our heads. Do we listen to more what men say than what God has said? We will be enticed. We will be allured. We will be deceived. The entrance of God's Word giveth light to show us things for what they really are. And show us, see, the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And only His Word opens the cloud. Only His Word peels back the veil. Then it's a thin veil to see clearly. The Word of God and prayer. Watch and pray. The way to escape. They go together. You can't separate them. The way. Christ is the Word. And He is the one we call upon. The way to escape. You know, we're not just going to church when we come here. We're coming, and the world thinks that. But what we're doing is coming to the light. Remember our Lord said, they that do the truth come to the light that their deeds might be made manifest. They come to Christ the light. Christ has promised to be here, and where His Word is preached, His light, the light for our steps, our path, know how to walk. Christ is here, whom we call upon, whom we pray to, who's promised to speak to us and to commune with us and comfort us. And He's promised to be here every time. Every time. We're not just coming to Christ. We're coming to the light. We're coming to the tabernacle. We're coming to watch together. We're coming to wait on our Lord. We're coming to have our eyes open. We're coming to have our understanding enlightened. We're coming to have our affection set on things. Coming to be grounded, settled, established, strengthened, be kept by the power of God. We're coming to get food and drink and meat to go in the strength of this for the next few days. And come back and do it again. Oh, the Lord has given us a way to escape. And the last verse there behind that says, brethren, flee idolatry. And that's the last verse Peter said in his epistle. Idolatry, because God is many, many, many fell in the wilderness. I don't want to. Do you? I want to be with Him. He's given us a way to escape. All right, stand with me. Our Lord, oh, how we thank You for Your Word. And it's so much more than a book. So much more. It is Your voice. It is Your mind, Your will. It's the Father's chastening rod. It is everything. It's our staff that we lean on. Light for our path. Oh, Lord, how we thank You for Your Word. The Word that speaks of Christ. Christ was the Word incarnate. Is the Word incarnate. He lived the Word. Oh, how we want to be like Him and follow Him and look to Him. Oh, Lord, He said, this is the way. Walk therein. Look to Me. Follow Me. We want to follow Him. Lord, let us not go out of the way. Let nothing have dominion over. Let nothing, no one, entice us away from the way, from Christ Himself. Oh, Lord. Be with us, we pray. Enable Your people to draw nigh unto Thee. Oh, Lord. Help us to commune with Thee more fully and so much more as we see the day approaching. Bring us here where we commune with Thee and one another and edify one another like sheep in a fold and help one another and edify one another. Bring us here. This is such a blessed place to be when You're with us. Be with us, Lord. In this present evil world, in these last days full of sin and temptations, oh Lord, we call upon Thee, our way to escape. Forgive us, Lord, where we have gotten out of the way. Forgive us when we've fallen. Forgive us, and we shall fall again. Oh Lord, pick us up. Leave us not to ourselves. But may we look to Thee and be found in Thee in that great day. In Christ's name we pray and met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.